Well, I can't find it, so I'll search it later.
Say again?
I can't find my medicine, so... Anyway,
No, you need to find that. Where would it be?
I don't really know.
Where was the last time you took it?
I've got, like, my flat's in a mess with paperwork. Let me hang
on. Oh, I understand that, but take your time, because I can stay on the phone. I'll wait. I'd rather you take it, if you can. Just take your time and...
I found this strip.
Have you?
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, it's important you take that, darling.
Right. That'll do. I just took half a tablet.
Is that enough? I don't know enough about diabetes.
Well, I have to eat with it, you see.
Oh, can you do that?
Not just now.
Why not? Because I'm on the phone.
I have to cook it.
Have you not got a biscuit or something you can just have?
I don't have biscuits because I've got type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
Too much
sugar. Have you got anything you can just kind of grab and... Well, I couldn't bring you back when you've done that.
Everything I've got.
I don't want you to get ill because I'm talking to you.
Well, we could talk for a couple of minutes just now anyway.
Alright, well at least you've got my voice now. His voices tell a lot, don't they?
Well, I tell you, I'd just like to tell you one thing though. I'm what they call a person of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Yeah, well so am I.
Well, probably for the same reasons.
They've nearly killed me time and again.
So, they drugged you. One of my doctors actually told me that she would rather kill me than cure me, you know.
Oh, well, they nearly did to me. They told me I would be crippled for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And that was 20 years ago. And I'm quite ill at the moment, but that's because they're not helping me. When I could afford it or I could find it and get sort of osteopathic help and what they call alternative help, I was dancing. Right. You know, if you look back at my videos, you can see me at different times, but I certainly did stand up.
Yeah.
I've blacklisted since the 90s, I really have.
I haven't been able to find your, have you got like a YouTube?
Well, yeah, I'm Shiva. My name is Shiva these days.
I've only been
I really am Shiva.
I've
but
only
it's
been...
Shiva Burton.
Shiva Burton. Oh.
And the only reason I'm Shiva 2 is because my account got taken down a few years ago, and Shiva 2 was my backup.
All right.
And that's the only reason. I'm not hiding anything. I'm really not. I'm very open about who I am and what I do. I've got pictures of me in the newspapers showing my face 20 years ago. Telling my story and what was going on for me. But really, my story was tiny. Really tiny.
They won't cover me.
Huh?
They won't cover me because, I know some of the kids I was in care, a lot of the kids I was in care with were involved in child prostitution. My own family used me as well that way. You know, my sisters were child prostitutes.
Yeah, I've listened to enough that I get this. I really do. I get this. You've been betrayed by everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, my second husband, he was abused the same way by his whole family, and in school,
yeah,
and some of his siblings had gone into care, but I didn't know any of it, and so I was busy coming out with my story, and when I broke down and it was all coming out, they all turned against me, and I didn't understand why. But, you know, they didn't want any of this all coming out either. So I kind of get you, but I'm not you. I didn't have the same experience, but I've listened to people for 20 years now, and I'm always open about myself. So even if I'm in the street or in a pub or down the road, you know, people know. And they tell me things. And I've heard just so many. I'm not saying I've heard everything, but nothing much shocks me. You know, one of my closest friends in the very first group I ever went to in Brixton, London, was nearly married into the royal family, as she was abused by lords in robes and all of the satanic stuff going on. And she was a really posh person. Really posh. You know, in her family, if you Google her family, they're linked to the Parker Bowles family.
Alright.
You know, so is it, I know this goes right throughout. There's nothing where you can't see this when you know and you're open to it. So I'm not your enemy, love. I'm really not.
So wait, Shira Button has got AKA Sue Melrose here.
That's right. That was my previous married name.
Sue Melrose.
But you won't see anything of me online these days, I don't think.
I'm going to switch the volume off the video light, but...
Are you taping me?
No, it's so I can talk to you. I can take the volume out of your light.
When I did my court case in the early 90s.
Is that you talking there?
Yeah, that would be.
You've got like a purple something on?
Black, I'm wearing a purple dress.
Yeah, it looks purple.
Yes, me.
Well, I'll tell you where you can find me. I'll just find the video.
Oh, I've looked at quite a lot of your videos. I like them.
Are you,
I know you say very openly that you've been damaged and brain damaged, but to me, you come across as so lucid and clear.
I am
really
damaged.
Really get what you say.
Don't doubt, I am damaged.
I know.
Right, if you hang on a second, you'll see me, I can hardly stand up.
Oh.
I'm doing a bit of wobbling there. I've been... And you'll see me around on the Smiling Memorial, and it zooms in at 7 seconds, and I'm on the left with the white t-shirt, the sunglasses. I have to wear sunglasses because I've got eye problems. My eye goes blurred. I'm affected by strong light, sunlight and artificial light.
Like that.
I'll tell you which one's Chris Daly, right? You see the kid in the red jumper?
Mm-hmm.
There's a fellow with a black jumper with a white badge on it. And he's looking straight at the camera at 07 seconds into the video. Smiling Memorial Service. And that's Chris Daly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the guy at the back with a white shirt and the black tie, he actually went behind everybody's back and they reckon he did secret deals. So there was a bit of a fight. You see, like, Daly and him had a fight, but nobody ever knew about it until they started fighting. So how did he find out? Because nobody found out until they heard about the arguments, you know? So I think they were both doing deals. I think most people in this video are genuine. I think these are the only two dodgy ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware of, with the exception, to some extent, of, you see, I've been talking to Helen, and she, what was it? She said a couple of things that conflicted. Like, I don't know if it was her herself, but somebody told me she had cancer, but she didn't deny she had cancer. And then the next time, I spoke to her, she says, oh, I don't have cancer. It's like, they don't know what it is. But according to everybody else, she was going in for chemotherapy. So, you know, these people really kind of, you know, mess me up. See, I've got a problem with that.
I didn't mean to do that. I mean, I really do suffer. It turns on my back. And then sometimes I still get depressed too. You know, I can get brought down and just
hang on
need a break, you know.
Were you medicated when you were a child?
Yeah, but by my parents. It was just...
It doesn't matter who medicated you.
Within my family, I was never in care. In fact, I grew up praying to be taken into care. I had no real idea until I was campaigning. And then I started meeting people that back then were trying to bring out the care home stories. Mm-hmm. And I met a girl at one point, and she'd started something, and they had bomb threats and all kinds of things. And I've met quite a few of the, you know, long-term campaigners that were sort of 20 years ago bringing out stuff, or when it came out about Dunblane. You know, I don't know if you know the history there and the links between...
Yeah. Well, I was living in Dundee when the Dunblane massacre happened. I didn't even know I had been medicated at that point, but I was medicated.
No, you wouldn't probably, no.
No, they did it secretly, but, you know, I don't know how they did it, but I've got records, surviving records, so that's how I found out they drugged me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's in my records.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up Scoobus.
I've looked at lots of your stuff, you know.
Scoobus.wordpress.
Yeah, with a Nuremberg.
Oh, wait a minute, I think it's Cobble Hall. C-O-B-L-E.
Yeah, I've seen that. I know I've seen that one.
Well, my medical notes are on that. Not all of them, but just a few that show I was being medicated between 1972 and I think 1980 or 1981, but 12 years, I think about 12 years I was medicated.
See, that's so sad for me. Because I was trying to bring it all out then, before that.
I was in the...
I have a lot of regret that I wasn't stronger, I didn't manage to do more.
Well, look, I tend to get irritated because of the diabetes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of really, it throws me off. But I think most of my anger was towards this Daly fella, because he had actually threatened me, and so has his brother.
Mm.
I've got he's a mild threat. But I was very suspicious of Daly when he started changing his story.
Yeah.
And his ex-wife has communicated with me, apparently, is somebody called Fiona Allen.
Yeah, I've got that.
And she basically confirmed, well, she not what happened to me, but she's given me a history. You know, the thing about Scotland is, if I can prove that this Daly or anybody who abused me has abused another person or child in a similar manner, that's called, I forget what it's called, but basically it's corroboration. In Scotland, if a person was to, say, rob you, right, and then a couple of days later, that person robbed me, and it's only my word against his and your word against his. But if we find out and say, well, this same thing happened, you can give like a character reference or something for that person, you know, our assailant.
Yeah.
And that's admissible in Scottish courts.
Okay, good.
But I'm not sure. It was actually a man from Birmingham who was at my tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
It was him that told me that. But in a way, you see, I think it's in relation to this fella called James McKenzie. James McKenzie raped my brother.
Okay.
I was also raped in my sleep, in a drug-induced state, so I couldn't identify the rapist. It happened more than once. But I think they were trying to get me to blame James McKenzie. And the reason they wanted to do that was because they didn't want me pursuing the case against Daisy Park. Because Daisy Park got the British Empire Medal, and she's well connected. It's like Jimmy Savile, Cyril Smith.
I've seen that bit. Yeah.
You see, that's the thing, it's a connection. It's like, if anybody gets a gong, they're well placed. There's a connection there, because you don't, you could, to the whole world, you could be the worst person in the world, but you could end up getting a medal from the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the worst person in the world get the medal when everybody knows that person is bad? I mean, it's not just a select group that knows this. It's the whole world. Well, they've got connections.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter whether people know they're abusers or not, abusive people or not.
Mm-hmm.
They get a medal, they get the protections. Have you not noticed that they're all dead?
Well, yes.
Well, there you go.
Yes, and the thing is that, I mean, I don't know what you've been doing all this time, but after the early 90s, I did the court case, and then I did those early rallies. And then after that, I was actually targeted then and attacked, and that's when I was crippled. And
so how did you get...
In fact, I was groomed by a paedophile gang, and I didn't see it coming. I didn't notice until it was too late. So I lost my children because when I did realise, I just asked my ex-husband to have my children, get them out of my house, get them away from this. Nothing had happened to them, but it nearly did, and I was just freaked out. I didn't handle it well. I was exhausted, if you can imagine. By that time, I'd been 2 years doing my court case and then 2 years doing the rallies, so my phone rang off the hook. I was just always, you know, fighting exhaustion, and then that happened, and it just did, at the time, push me over the edge. And then it took me 6 months to get myself well enough to say to my ex-husband, right, I love my children back now, thank you. You know, I'm okay again. And that's when he attacked me and crippled me. But for him, it was all his anger coming out, because I was highlighting everything, and he still hadn't told me what had happened to him.
All right.
You know, so it's all been kind of raw. You know, I totally understand how, you know, even my husband didn't want to tell me.
I get
you. You know, it has got easier, obviously, for people to talk, but no, not for everybody. Not for everybody. And so after that would have been about 96, 97, so it's quite a long time. And then it was 2009 that a friend of mine just made me come online and start doing stuff then, and I went to the rally in 2009, and then I got back involved, and I've been sort of on it again since then.
Do you know anybody called James Moyer?
Moyer.
James Moyer.
No, I think I know a Chris Moyer.
I say that again?
Chris
Moyer, I'm not sure about
that. That rings a bell, not a James Moyer.
Well, James
Moyer... Is he in Scotland? Because I don't know many in Scotland.
You're in Crawley, aren't you? That number you...
I'm near Crawley, yeah. I'm in Hawley, actually. But it's near Crawley.
What is it? Hawley?
Hawley. H-O-R-L-E-Y. That's exactly where I am, but... I often put Crawley on my thing.
I don't know where... Well, Crawley's near... or Hawley, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is. It's just near Gatwick. I'm near Gatwick.
I was actually, I think it was Gatwick, when I went to Amsterdam.
Probably, yeah.
It was middle of the night, though, because we had to get a link, I remember now, it was Luton.
Oh, okay.
But I might have used Heathrow or Gatwick on the journey there. But on the way back, we came to Heathrow or Gatwick, and then we had to go to Luton, I think.
I would think it might have been Heathrow more likely than.
Yeah.
But Gatwick is near where I am, which is near Crawley. It's the same telephone code, I think.
I'm just trying to get his directions for James Moyer.
Okay.
Right, I just put Crowley
in. You're right, though. I'm a bit concerned that you need to eat something and take your medicine.
I'm fine. I just took like a bite out of like half a tablet.
Uh-huh.
I was drinking some coffee as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that good?
Yeah, coffee. Well, not really. Not.
No.
It's like the caffeine's not very good for you. Wait a minute, Crowley, England.
Yeah.
And I'll just put down his address because I've got his address.
Oh, is he near me?
He lives in. I'm just going to find out how close you are to Torquay.
Okay.
Right, I'll put that in. I think I've got Crowley. Oh, I've got like Horsham.
Horsham's near me, but I'm actually Hawley, H-O-R-L-E-Y.
Oh, I'll do it more accurately than Hawley. Hawley, is that E-Y?
L-E-Y, H-O-R-L-E-Y.
Yeah, right, I'll just zoom out and get, because I'm going to have to do directions. I'm just checking, I don't think you're that far up, well, maybe, I don't know where.
I'm really sorry if we got off on the wrong foot. Because I'm more actually too trusting than not trusting, you know? That's me. But it's why what I do works. But I do fall into sometimes, you know, people have taken advantage of me too. And
yeah, they do.
And they have. There's been a few rings of campaigners now. And like I was starting to say to you, there's a ring that have attacked not just Kevin, but a few others that I know are very genuine. Might not agree with the cake there, you know, cause like one of the guys, he's chained himself up in a Catholic church in Ireland because he was abused in Catholic homes and that's his beef and that's what he's done. And he's done so much work. And they've mullered him. He's had death threats. He's not the only one. There's about three people I know that have had serious death threats. Their addresses and house numbers put on the line and people being aimed at them. But I know that there's just this, there's a few rings like that that are going out to get the ones of us that are genuine. And actually getting somewhere.
Well, you get that.
I know. I'm not one of them.
Even
people that have done things to me online, I've never retaliated. I just won't.
Well, Torquay, I'll try and work it. It's quite limited. That's like 20, 40, 60, 80, 80. So that's about, I'd say it's over 200 miles away from you by the looks of this.
Oh, okay. Where is he?
Torquay.
Oh, Torquay, Devon.
T-O-R-Q-A-Y.
Yeah, it is. It's a couple of 100 miles away. It is.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you his address.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just try, I think it's number 3, Happaway Close.
Uh-huh.
And his name's James Moyer.
Okay, but who is he?
I would tread carefully because even though he was in care when he was a baby,
mm-hmm.
right? But he's older than me, but I ended up in the same home as him, and I think probably I'm not really. See, my memory is a bit damaged, you see, he used to work, so I think he was probably an adult because most of the time that. In the homes, they keep some children on until they're 19 and sometimes 21. So I think he would probably have been, he said he was what, 53? So I got to that home, Cobble Hall, in 1972. So he says he's 53. I'm not too good at the maths. But I'll do a quick sum.
53, yeah, he'd be older.
Yeah, so it looks like...
Because I'm 56.
You're 56?
Yeah. No, I was born 57.
Oh, 57. He would be born 50, did you say 56?
I am 56.
All right.
I was born 57.
Oh, you were born 57, so he would be born 60.
Hmm.
1960.
Yeah.
I've got memory problems when it comes
to... Hang on, 73. So if he was born 60, he would have been 13 in 73.
Right, hang on.
Yeah.
Right, you said you were born in 56.
No, but I was born 57.
Right, but you're 56.
Mm. Now.
Right, so you're 56. So he's 50... Well, I said he was 53... I'm 47.
Okay, so he's 6 years older than you then.
All right, that would be easier, wouldn't it? 47.
Yeah.
And he's 53. So 4, that's like 30. That's like 6 left over.
Wait.
Yeah, 6 years. 6 years older than me.
Yeah, does that work out?
So let me have a look. 65 minus 6. Click. 65 minus 5. Right, that would be 5, 15. So 6. So that would be 7, would be 30. 8, 9, 10. So 9. 9. So... That's strange. I've got a funny number here.
Work out now.
Oh, so I did the wrong one. I think he was born in 59.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
59.
If you were born 65?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would be born 59 then.
Yeah. Yeah, 59. Right, so let me have a look. 59 to 1 would be 60. 72 would be 12, so that... Yeah, you'd be 13. Yeah, you're right. You'd be 13. Quite strange, that.
Mm-hmm.
So you would be 20. Because I was only in Cobble Horse 7 years, so he would have been 20, yeah. So that means there was 4 years that he was an adult, basically. In Scotland, you're 16, you're an adult.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, so nearer 20 years old. I say he's about 19, maybe. He was actually having sex with one of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
I caught him doing it. Still there?
I'm still here, but is your phone, is your battery going?
No. I use the speaker
phone. You're cutting off a little bit.
I've got this, well, I get that quite a lot.
Okay.
I get it on my mobile. It's worse on my mobile.
Okay.
It cracks up. Anyway, so, yeah, he would have been about 19 when he was, because I got kicked out of, Cobble Hall for attacking the matron.
Uh-huh.
She was molesting me at night. But basically, she would do that. Well, I'll tell you why what actually happened, you see, because she was having sex with me at night when I was awake. She used to get me up at 11 o'clock. Every night. But the thing is, it was later between going back to bed at 11 and about 7 o'clock in the morning that I would get the visitations, you know, from the sodomites. But anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, I got molested by a teacher at school.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Varuri Academy. Right? And I complained about it.
Uh-huh.
And I put around the place, you see. But the other thing as well, there was Margaret Third, who was another girl in the home.
Uh-huh.
Well, she had another kid in the home. And she was actually selling herself to, I would say, 3, but I've witnessed her with 2 female teachers. One from the primary school we were in, and one from the secondary school we went to. We were doing business. I caught them, I decided to surprise her, you see, because they built a new toilet near the bridge in Port Elphiston, right, which is part of Inverurie. And anyway, I walked in on them. And, you know, the toilet, because I used the male toilet, but I walked round, because I knew something was up, and I waited a while, and I walked round, and went in and opened the door, and there she was with a teacher called Mrs. Merchant, and Mrs., what's the other one's name, McDonald, was there as well. And Margaret Third got nasty with me, and she says, you can't say anything, and Daisy said it's okay anyway. Said we're allowed to do this, bloody hell, you know.
Yeah.
So I walked away, and it was that business with the guy called Mr. Coburn, who was a teacher, and that business was the last straw, because I started talking about it, you see. So they got me out of the area. What was the other thing? Yeah, there was a girl called Stephanie Bird. She caught her and another girl, and the technician, and then later the technician was a bit late, but his assistant come out, because I started shouting and screaming because I was being molested, you know, in the corridor. And then Stephanie Bird said to the teacher that was molesting me when everybody turned up, she says, right, I can't help you now because everybody saw what you were doing. You know? So there was complicity at the school as well with some of the other kids, but it's no surprise, because I went to Peterhead Academy as well later, you know? And what was it? I was in a class with kids. I was only doing like 3 or 4 months until I was old enough to be, leave school. And every kid that was in my class was involved in underage sex. And there was a girl there called Tanya Arthur. She's called Tanya Brown now. I used to go out with her a long time ago, before then, when we were about 9 or 10 or something. And she was having sex with a dog. But she it was for pornography, you see. It was a business. A mother and a father run her. And a police officer, at least one. And when I went to the academy later, Peterhead Academy, we ended up in the same class. And all the kids in the class were like that. But when I went past the toilets at Cross and Blackwell, more than once. But one day, I remember mostly, because her and her pal that were standing there were offering me a share of the business. But, that's the kind of thing that happened. You know, they tend to rent, as far as I'm aware, they tend to rent themselves at the toilets, or leave their numbers in the toilets, or the customers put their numbers up in their toilet. But I think now that child prostitution, it always has been, mainly you have to approach an adult prostitute. Like, I had a girlfriend called Elizabeth Brown, who was an adult prostitute, and she would take me round the doors. But the thing is, you get in touch with the adult prostitute, and then they seek to know if you are interested in kids, and that's how it goes. But I think they do most of it online these days. But you still get the prostitutes that do the lights, and you will encounter these prostitutes, and they will either introduce you to their kids or somebody else's kids. And then there's kids at the schools who go around looking for vulnerable children, and they use drugs on these children too. And it's no secret to somebody like me, because I was raised in it, you know? I was raised in that environment.
Yeah.
So it's quite widespread. I mean, this guy Cyril Smith was probably a welcome guest, and he was probably, you could call him a mover and a shaker, just like Jimmy Savile.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. There were plenty of them around.
He'd arrange the meetings, that would be his favour.
Mm.
You know, his favour.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's so bad, but. I can definitely say, though, that now you know, more people are spreading these stories around that usually I might have posted them years ago and nobody would take any notice, or they'd be like, you know, not sure about that, not sure we want to know that, not sure we want to believe that, but now it's definitely different because of Savile coming out and Cyril Smith and now Stuart Hall and then other stories. It's just building that people are just much more ready to start to actually believe this.
I'm just trying to remember a name. Somebody called Steve. Steve, it's Steve Lambert. Have you ever heard of Steve Lambert?
That name rings a bell.
Well, he lives up here in Edinburgh, but he's got like a London accent.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an area in London called Lambert anyway.
Lambeth.
Mm. Well, his name's Lambert or something. Lambert.
Okay.
Yeah, I've met him. I've met him a couple of times here. But he avoids me now. Yeah.
Was he good with you before?
I didn't really mix it. I only spoke with him on the passing.
Because
I met him at the day hospital, and I think we shared a hostel as well. Because when I moved from Perth, I lived in Dundee, then I moved to Perth. I moved to Perth because, they sectioned me for fighting with the police. I ended up in the Murray Royal. And then this guy called Colin McCulloch turned up, and a few other people. And they, you know, they woke me up one night because they gave me a private room. Which was very unusual because I was an NHS patient, you see. You had to be private to get a private, you know, insurance, in other words, to get a private room. So they gave me a private room, and I says, how come I'm getting a private room? And they says, oh, we've not got the beds in the dormitories. But I looked at the dormitories, and the bed, there were quite a few beds empty, you know. But anyway, they woke me up one night because they did it more than once, but my room was next to the TV room, you see. And we're playing loud videos, you know, of bands. And it was The Who. When was this? 1990... can't remember now. 96, 97 or something, right? And they were looking at The Who and another band. I can't remember the name of the other band. But they also started watching Madonna as well on one occasion. And I said, I'm not happy about being woken up all the time, but as soon as you're playing Madonna, I do like Madonna, and I'll sit and watch. And I just, you know, I don't know how far into the video it was, but I was looking at Madonna, and she was having a conversation. I only watched it for about a minute, and I got up, and I walked away, and I said, that's me gone off Madonna. I said, I didn't know Madonna was a pervert. You know? And they said, how does he know that? You know? And they started asking me if I had a computer. And I said, yeah, I've got a computer. I just got it a little while ago, but it never seems to work. And they wanted to have a look at it. And I said, do you know about computers, like? I said, if you know how to fix them, I said, I'll let you have a look. You know, so I let them have a look. And, you know, when I got, like, a day release, and they said, no, I had the conversation, no, he's clean. And they said, I thought he was with the others. And they said, no, he's like, in for fighting with the police. And they said, like, I had a history in childcare, of being medicated in childcare, you know. But I don't know what, I, you know, I only had that, it's like hindsight, the last bit, right? But I did suspect that I'd been medicated in care because I was suffering the same symptoms. I had when I was in childcare. You know, the stiff muscles and everything. But, what was it? Anyway, this guy called Colin McCulloch, he was always edgy around me, trying to be the top man and everything. And he found out that I was in Oak Bank, which is a list D or a list G. I can't remember what there's a G or a D, but it's in Oak Bank. It's been demolished now. But when he heard that, when I told him that, he thought like I was like him, because he was a member of staff in Oak Bank, but not at the same time I was there. So he thought I was okay, and the other staff were kind of like hoping that, well, they were playing along with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that he might give me some stuff, and I'll talk about it.
Uh-huh.
You see? But anyway, he's looking at the Who videos, and he's talking about the drummer. I think the guitar, I was looking at the guitarist and I said, I don't like that guitarist, you know, he really pisses me off. You know the guy in the, he wears the schoolboy clothes, the guitar, and he bounces across the stage all the time.
Yeah.
I said, I don't like him. I said, he spoils the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, he said, oh, I like him. And then they started talking about the drummer. I can't remember if they liked the drummer or whatever. But that was Pete Townsend at the time. He was in the Who, wasn't he? Is it that guy in the, you know, the schoolboy outfit? Is that him, is that the Who?
Oh, I'm not sure. Pete Townsend, was he the Who? I'm not that sure, to be honest.
Well,
I'm not
Townsend,
that,
Pete Townsend was on a list the FBI had.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, because he'd been downloading child porn from some organisation in America. Now this guy, Colin McCulloch, and about three or four others, I can't remember exactly how many there were, because they made themselves scarce later, but when Colin McCulloch started asking me more questions, you know what, I don't remember seeing you, and I think he said about your age or something, and I would have seen you there. And I says, well, you said you were a member of staff there, and he says, yeah. I says, well, I was a child in Oak Bank. And it took a while for it to sink in, because I said that to him about three times. And when it finally sunk in, he got up, ran off to the office, and he says, you can't have him here. He says, you can't have him here. He'll tell everybody about us.
Oh.
I think he was amongst the first people to be rounded up with the Operation Oar. Because they were asking, the reason he was watching the videos was to see if he knew, they let him watch these videos, they brought these videos in for him so that he could identify anybody either in the porn that he had or that he might have met online and seen online, if he got them online. But I suppose it was all online, wasn't it? I think, anyway, Operation Oar, yeah. But that was the early days.
Okay, well, honestly, I mean, if you just give me a bit of time, if you can be patient. But is the Scottish thing with the Incas, you know, there's the new inquiry building. There's a time pressure there, isn't there?
What is it you're wanting to know?
When is the next sort of big meeting or?
They cut me out now.
Is it July or June?
I don't know. I'll do a quick look.
I've got it somewhere myself, so don't worry if you don't know. I think it's July, early July though.
They've cut me out. But,
because, you know, I have got this going on in my mind, and I've got people in mind that when I can get to talk to them and tell them about you, I might be able to get some support going up there for you.
Well, I have to tell you one, just hang on a second.
Put you in touch with them and see if you get on and like them and...
Can I just say something?
You know?
Can I say something?
Push them.
I'm already a member of Incas, and they've cut me out the loop.
Yeah, I know.
Right, now I don't want anybody talking to Incas, because it's a dead end.
No, I'm not meaning to, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just meaning that there's a kind of, there is that thing going on up there.
Right,
well, and your accounts go along with it. And it's a bit like what we've done in Wales so far, is we're telling the things they're not telling in Wales, you know, and we might be able to do that for you in Scotland.
If we can get our
end together, and I can get some more people involved. But honestly, we're a very, very small group at the moment. Although it might look very polished, that's only because Jamie, the guy in Wales, is a very technical guy. So he's managed...
I used to have to say that, basically, my, how you say, like, a person of interest, I mean, it was a doctor that recommended I should be a person of interest because of my activities online.
Oh, I've got that. It's all over. I had, at one time, they tried to take my son that lives with me now away from me.
I wouldn't know.
And it was all over my social services records.
I don't have any kids.
Capital letters, I'm on Facebook. I went to rallies. Yeah, it was capital letters.
Yeah, you
well,
get,
I went to see my doctor.
They
I had to see him for my sake, and he had a real lecture at me about being online and making myself vulnerable to men, because they made it sound like I was going in chat rooms and trying to get whatever, or being vulnerable with men, and this was putting my son in danger, and it never was. I've always done what I do online, which is
you have to
child
be
abuse and highlight it.
Listen,
and
if you are a vulnerable person,
I guess I'm down as a vulnerable person.
You have the right to do what you're doing.
I know.
At the same time, you know what I mean?
The way they painted it.
If I had
they
kids,
they didn't manage to take my son because.
Yeah, well, just hang on a second. I was in the army.
If
I had kids, nobody would come near them. But if women tend to be more vulnerable, you see, and it doesn't matter who you are, if you've got kids, you still have to be careful.
I am as careful as I can be.
And that's what they're doing, you know.
He's never been in danger.
They have to make sure you don't meet anybody that will put your kid at risk.
No, they knew that I wasn't. They just made it look that way at the time because they were going for me.
I'm trying to find news and events, but there's nothing here.
Yeah.
Let me see. 2012 was the last one. Now they won't give me updates because they know that I'm very, very sharp and I can see a lot of rubbish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is more about getting people out the back door, if you know what I mean, or the side door, you know, and keeping them quiet, but they won't let I recorded stuff at the last two meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they really fucking panicked. There was a guy I can't remember where he was from, but he is very hostile. And he comes from somewhere in England, I think it might be the north of England, and I'm trying to remember. See, I've got the recording somewhere, but it's about over an hour, well, maybe 2 hours recording.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm trying to think where it is. It's somewhere in England, and I think I looked it up at nearer the time. Let me think. I know it might be somewhere near Carlisle.
Okay.
So I'll type in Carlisle and I'll have a quick look at what's around Carlisle. Where's Corby?
Corby, I think it's Lancashire.
That's Lockerbie.
Carlisle is higher.
Wigton. Was it Wigton? No. Maryport. Workington. Whitehaven, Buttermere, Keswick, Cockermouth, or is it Corkum? Cockermouth, like apple Penrith. It's been, I don't know. Gretna, that's... I wonder where it is. It's in the recording anyway. He did mention... You see, the thing, I don't know why. Maybe my battery was a bit low, but it is kind of low, the recording. But I can enhance it. I've got software to enhance it, make it louder.
Okay.
I just have to remember the date. And then I can just look it up. Well, let me see. I can go back to Survivor Scotland. Let me see, where's that piece?
Alright, are you okay though? Because I know you were feeling tired and...
I'm fine.
I tend to perk up,
you know, when I enter into an interesting subject, so let me see.
Okay.
I'll go to news and events again. Events, that was December. I'll go to research, December, there's two next, 1st February 2009, news, December, November, could have been November, Scottish Government instead of working, let me have a look, 20, I don't think it was June, when it was December? I don't think it was it November, that sounds too close. December, June, let me have a look. Yeah, I think it would have been June. Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
Library, I'll look in this library tab. April to, March. See, they excluded me from that one. They didn't even tell me about it. On April, nor the February one. You know, so, you know, so I'm going to find the one that I was at. There was one, yeah, this could be 8, 4 October, that's the one I intended to, so 8 October I would say. Let me just find out when it was and where it was actually. Yeah, I've got to download it. Right. I open it, open, I'll get where this is, and that's 4th, I clicked on the wrong one, but never mind, it should open in a minute, which it's not doing, and just sit here, no, I got like a dud message here, I'll have to do that with, let's go, I'll click national, because it should be named national. It's starting to annoy me this. I'll get the date, and I could probably find it a lot easier. I'll just have to go to
You've got time, and you're not on the phone, and...
I've got the document. I'll go into libraries, let me see, paste. Now that's not it. Let's do that again. I'll go to recent places. I just have to go to downloads. Let's see, where is it? I'll do a search at downloads. Let's see, downloads. National. I wouldn't confess. I don't think that National Conference. Here's a Glasgow one. Let's have a look. Quite strange that. That's pictures. That's not it. I have to use hands. National Confidential Forum. This looks like it. I just go open with the right Adobe. Here it is. 4th October, Verity House. Ah, that's Edinburgh. Right, that's the Edinburgh one. So I'll go back. 8th October. Right. Show in folder. Open with Adobe Reader. Where was it? I'm gonna have to go into there. October. Here we go. That's Alison Johnston. 36638. I'll go like, this is it here. I can't really find it now.
Maybe wait till we're off the phone and have a go, maybe.
Well, I just try and remember what name was.
I'm going to have to go in a minute.
Right. And you sound like you have the same accent as Teresa Cooper. Are you from the same area as Teresa Cooper?
I'm not far from her. She's more east. She's in, where is it, Essex, I think? Essex, yeah.
Right. Oh.
My accent's a bit of a mixture because I sort of moved around a lot, and I used to be in sales a lot when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was on the Isle of Wight for a few years, and that really slowed my accent down. But I'm a Londoner, like Teresa, so yeah.
Right, yeah, Teresa's from...
So you've spoken to her, you've obviously spoken to her then?
Yeah, I have. Well, anyway, I think it's the 8th of October.
Okay.
Last year. So all I need to do is just put in date modified. Not too far. I would probably put...
Teresa's actually soon going to be publicising some of this very big herself around being drugged and other people being drugged in children's homes.
This looks like it.
She's going to be on soon on TV. She's going to be on TV soon.
Oh, right. And this is the film. I thought it was...
Good. She's just helped a load of other people win cases.
Oh, that's quite all right.
And it's sad, though, because so many of them, they've got children that are ill because of the drugs they were given.
I think she's approaching a different line.
She is. It is different. It's not the same, but it's still awful. These women have, you know, gone on to have children now and not realising all those drugs they were given have caused their children to have defects. And that's awful.
I've got quite a... There's 92 kilobytes. That won't be it. 52 kilobytes.
I'm going to have to go in a sec, though.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Yeah, we'll talk again, though.
Okay, if I find the...
Stay in touch. touch, and I don't know what I can't promise anything concrete at the moment, but, you know, I would like to just be able to talk to other people about your story and your videos, and then see if they can offer you some more solid support than you've got, you know? Because I do think it's important. I really do. I got that straight away.
As I say, I don't mind you sharing my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're quite welcome to it.
Okay, Doug. And I would never tamper. And what I was saying to you is that I found it hard to sort of get my head around some of it, only because it's not a criticism at all, but it might be that we can just present it in a more, what's the word, in a more simplified, quicker way for people to understand. Because I think this needs highlighting very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's taken me quite a while to sort of look at everything and find the links and work out what it was you were really saying, and to find that you'd been involved in that inquiry in 2002, was it? Was it 2002 or 2000?
I had a tribunal in 2012.
Right. To sort of find that out, it took me quite a while, and I just not sure everyone would bother to read it through to those points. So,
are you talking about
writing a different way round? But I would show it to you first. I would never do anything like that, and not show it to you and say, "Well, it's." Read this, and is this okay? And are you happy for me to go here with that? I would never step on anybody's toes like that. Not toes. You know what I mean, though? There are people, it's happened, where they've used people to just publicise themselves, or, you know, there's one bloke, he's made films, and he's charged people.
Who's
thousands of pounds, and nobody knows that he's done this, because they're sort of scared to say anything, because some of these guys are so popular.
Can you maybe tell me who you're talking about?
With that one, it's Bill Maloney.
Bill Maloney. I was having a conversation with Frank about Bill Maloney.
Oh, were you?
And I tend to be able to be familiar with people's behaviour. And he comes across to me as being familiar in his behaviour. And the thing I forgot to tell Frank is that there's a guy he used to work for me. The government paid him money to look after me, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You probably hear me talking about him in the Chris Daly recording.
Can't quite remember. What's his name?
I don't know if I mentioned his name. But his name, I get confused, is Jeff or Jed. Right? Now, I know where Jeff or Jed hangs about now. I forgot, I might have his timesheet somewhere, but I'll have to look into it. Maybe I don't, but I could easily get them.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, he told me, he asked, see, I heard stories about Frank Maloney, but I can't pull them all together. But I heard from quite a few people about Frank Maloney. Now, there's a fella whom I've discovered more recently, probably around the time that I caught this guy, what's his name, Thomas Innes Hardy. I'm going to guarantee it, because it was a dark corridor, but it looked like a wee boy in a dress. Not too small, but I would say under 16.
Uh-huh.
And he come out and wearing a bloody dress. And I walked into the room, the hotel room in Berlin, and what's his name? Because we shared the room, Innes, as we called him. We didn't like being called Thomas, but his name's Innes. And he said, oh, is that you back where you can get started again? You know? And obviously, the kid come out of the room, he just had like a green vest, but he had a bare arse, you know? And he ran up the corridor.
Uh-huh.
I'd forgotten all my tickets and my wallet, you know, for the tram and the money to go buy things that I wanted and do whatever I wanted to do, and I had to double back.
Mm-hmm.
But the manager, the guy at the desk, recognised me and rushed to the phone. I saw him do all that, and I got up the stairs. I think we were either on, I think just the first or the second floor, so the lift got there in no time. So just as the kid ran out, I was approaching the room. So that's how I got a good enough look at him, you know?
Yeah.
And then I went into my room, well, our room I should say, and, you know, and but I didn't really need to hear and say anything. I knew what was happening. But he used to leave me on my own like that. You know, go out into Berlin, wander about. Same when we were in Amsterdam. Same bloody thing. You know, same shit. And I wondered, you know, what the heck? You know, you asked me to come with you to go to Amsterdam and Berlin. See, I thought, and this was my good friend, but he wasn't. Turned out he wasn't. But anyway, I heard from a guy called Raymond Hardman about what's this guy? Tom Maloney?
Bill.
Or Bill Maloney, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was getting worried about Bill Maloney. He was talking to somebody, I think he might come after me. And this is a long time ago, I mean, I was still on the cosh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that the fella he was talking to is a paedophile. What's his name? Roy Deer. Because Roy Deer admitted to me back in 1991 that he was a paedophile. Because Bernie said to him, this woman called Bernie, who's also a paedophile, told him that I'm okay. You know, he's like government. I think like she was offering me work. And I just basically said, I'm not working here. I've refused to work. I refused to work in anything to do with care when I was a kid. And I can't remember how the circumstances were, but what I basically did was I threw out a few bits of meat. I mean, I knew right away something was wrong, you know. And I just played it. I played along for a little while. I played the fool a bit and the idiot and... I used to drink a bit then as well, so, I mean, they took me to be a drunken fool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I got Bernie to admit she was a paedophile, I got Roy to admit he was a paedophile, and I got this other fella, Robert Sloan, to admit he was a paedophile. But anyway, this Raymond Harvin, who I thought was okay, even after hearing this conversation, because the cosh does you a bit of damage, you know, how you can think. But I was taking it all in, it's just I wasn't processing it. But the thing was, that's what he said about Bill Maloney. And this guy, Roy, says, watch, I didn't realise he was there. How long is he? Don't talk about like that in front of him. He remembers everything. It's just that, you know, he's just a bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually went out and came back later and said, it's okay. I think they've still got him on the medication. I mean, they used to say things, talk like that in front of me all the bloody time, thinking I was a complete tube, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how I collected a lot of information. Sitting there like it was...
I do hear you, and I'm not dismissing that you...
Right, hang on a second.
Brain damage,
let me just say this thing.
Come across to me so clear.
Let me just say this
so
much. Just hang on, please.
I hope that doesn't sound patronising.
Just hang on.
I really don't mean it that way.
Can I just hang on? Listen, I was trying to. I like to tell these things because I do forget.
Right.
And when I remember, it's best to listen because I might not remember again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit! Hang on a minute. Bill Maloney. Yeah, the guy Jeff or Jed told me they've got a file on Bill Maloney. They've got a file on him. Now listen, I can't remember too much, but listen to this. My family sold me to paedophiles. My own sister sold me to paedophiles. Both my sisters, well, I had three sisters, one's dead, but the other two sold me to paedophiles. Right? So this talking about, somebody said to me that Bill Maloney's sister died under suspicious circumstances.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I don't know if Bill Maloney's genuine or not, but as I said, my sister sold me.
I think he is genuine in that I do think he was abused himself. I think
If he was abused,
his own personal story that he tells, you know, I would believe that.
Well, but extra information.
What I've witnessed him doing is kind of, it's sort of like he makes films, but he always puts another dramatic edge on it all.
Ah, right.
And it's already dramatic enough, actually. But the worst thing I've heard, and I'm trying to verify it and help some of these people if it is true, is that he's charged a lot of money to some people and then put their films out, and it hasn't actually been very nice to the people involved, or they've asked him to change something or take it down, and he won't, because it's kind of become about him and his business and his money making, film making, and that's why I'm just reassuring you that I would never dream. It shocks me that, and that's why, if it's true, what these, and I'm hearing it from quite a few quarters now, enough to sort of look into it and take it seriously, but I can't say for sure.
Right, well,
but it bears looking at, and I understand you're sort of looking at us and saying, well, who are you and what are you going to do, and don't change my information, because I know there are people like him around that do.
Yeah.
And misuse us.
Well, I wouldn't let him do that.
No, I know. I know that. I can tell. And nor would I. But unfortunately, he's got the better of people that have been...
vulnerable.
You know, I've been there myself, where I've been just so grateful that somebody was going to help me or do something, that I've let them run with it, and then they've taken it into an area that I didn't really want to go.
Well...
And that's why I'm actually very sensitive with people and how I go about things. And that's why I'm taking my time to get to really understand what it is you're saying and looking at your films. I've already spent quite a lot of time on it. Really, you've got a lot of information there.
Well, I don't like people making money off my stuff. That's
no,
quite simple. You're entitled to use it as it is.
I know we've got a donate button, but it's honestly because if we can raise money, I really am concerned that, especially now, and it's always been the case, there's never been enough support for us. But especially now that more and more is coming out, there must be loads of people that have tried to just put it behind them, and, you know, it's suddenly in their faces every day, in the papers every day, on the telly most days, that it's even more pronounced that we should have specialist services out there easy to get hold of.
Wow.
That's why I want to raise money. It's that reason only. I don't want it to
happen. I can't allow anybody to profit financially from that stuff, you know.
Not about that. I would love to be able to create at least one good sanctuary that was so good that other people would be able to copy it.
Well, I wouldn't allow anybody to make money. I can't allow that.
No. Honestly.
If it was, I tell you what, you know, I know I reckon that if I could make money from it myself, I still wouldn't do it.
Mm.
You know, because, well, that's the way I am.
I agree with you, but on the other hand, if I had to be working, I'd rather be working and doing this and helping people.
Well, I don't know what you mean after that.
So, I wouldn't mind a living wage, but I would. It would never be a greedy thing or a... And that's not even a priority anyway. As I say, my main priority is to finally set up some places that we can go to and turn to.
Well, you can...
Whenever we need them, and I don't think there should be really any conditions on that. When we need help, we need it. We need it immediately.
Yeah. Well, I'm not...
You know that. I know that. And I've never found it, have you?
I'm not the type of person who is into being involved with government.
No.
I'd rather bring the government down.
Yeah.
I don't rock the boat to embrace the captain. Mm-hmm. I'm after pulling the plug out and letting it sink. You know, if he's in the way, I'll give a bit of a hug, push him out the way and pull the plug out, and that's
yeah,
it.
Okay.
But, and then I'll jump overboard. You would never get me joining in. I'm not one of these people who rock the boat to become part of the
party. No, I'm not either, honestly. We're none of us, you know, the people I really work with, none of us are into government or anything. In our own different ways, we're all trying to bring them down or at least show them up for what they really are and what they've really done.
Yeah.
Or not. And I've got a fair few friends that are very hardcore with some of it, and I hear you where you don't want it to be about a religion. Some of my friends are very much hardcore on the Catholic stuff, because that's just, it was, the reason for that is because the Catholic Church kept records, and that's why they've got them.
Ah, they do
and
have
now,
records.
They're starting to bring down the other churches as well into it. But originally, the reason that a lot of the hardcore activists kept going for the Catholics and what they'd done was because they knew these records existed. And that was their downfall. Most other religions didn't keep those records. But these people knew that they could uncover it if they just kept on and on and on. And finally, they really are getting there now. But a lot of my friends that are like really hardcore on that, it doesn't mean that that's all they're about. Particularly one of them, Michael McManus, I know you've got him on your friends. He will often be attacking religions because he gets incensed as well about the amount of stuff that goes on within the Muslim religion, and he's right, they do, but it's not the only thing. He's very close to Teresa Cooper, and he's recently been, his main thing is he thinks the government can be brought down simply by the drug experiments and the drug companies and the money made, and he can actually set it out. This is one of the things I want to do, is to sit with him online and get him to help me form this into an argument that a lot of people can join in with, because he's got it sussed. He can spell it out to me on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Of how we could bring the government down simply about the drugs and what they've done to children.
Oh, that would be
especially
interesting.
Especially in care.
That would be interesting.
And he really has got it nailed, but I can't remember it enough, like, after talking to him, to write it down. So that's one of the things on my list of things to do, is to say, right, let's get these letters. You know, dictate this letter to me that we should send to the government, and then I can get probably thousands of people doing the same thing.
I found it.
It's just providing the tools
so that
people can take these actions, you know?
I found that recording.
Oh, okay.
but it's 3.5 hours long. Leave that one there.
But if you send it onto my messages or something.
Well, I'm going to listen to it. It's basically got me arguing with this fella.
Okay.
And sitting next to some woman who's very familiar to me. You see, that's the thing that, you know, the brain damage does to me as well.
Mm.
See, if I met you one day,
mm-hmm.
or even if I met you over a few months, you know, maybe every second day for maybe an hour every day. And then we left company and I met you maybe 7 months later.
Mm-hmm.
You would be a complete stranger to me.
Yeah.
That's what it does. It affects things I remember, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you get some sleep because I think you've been up kind of late, haven't you?
I have. But my sleep pattern's out, doing it anyway.
Oh, I get that as well. But anyway, just one thing.
Sometimes I'm writing, it doesn't always come out right, does it?
Well, listen, you said you were medicated as a child, didn't you?
Yeah, I was.
And does your mother and father, they were given medication or did they use illegal drugs?
It was medication they were giving me.
Right.
Also, they were giving me alcohol and my mum was on medication.
Right, what you have to do...
And she was giving me her stuff, so I shouldn't have been out.
Okay, right, I've got medical files, but you said you were born in 57.
Okay.
So, right, up until you were 16, so that's like 10, that's 67,
73.
73, she was 16. Right, when you're in England, you're an adult when you reach, what, 17 or 18? Right. Have you been able to get your medical files?
Yeah, but there's nothing in them. Not like that. Not about that, because it was all secret.
So how do you know you were medicated?
Because I remember it.
Ah, you were given them, right.
I remember. And I remember the feelings. And I went through some psychotherapy for a few years, and some of that was hypnotherapy.
Right, you ever...
unlocked a lot of memories.
Do you know the hospital or the medical centre that, or your GP centre?
Yeah, I know the GP, yeah. I've had all my medical notes out because I did seriously try to see my dad.
Right.
And I was the first woman in this country to even try that. And what the government made sure of was that I couldn't win. I was going to win. And at that time, there were no real criminal cases happening because how could you prove it? It was a work at theirs. You know, nothing was actually going on to stop it. And it wasn't for the money, even that, because I was offered an out-of-court settlement.
Did you get
and a few weeks later, they closed my case because the government moved the goalposts. And what happened was that ahead of my case was a woman where it was her stepfather and stepbrother. And I didn't see it at the time, but looking back, I can see what they did because she did win. But then they appealed. And she won again. And then they appealed. And because they kept appealing, it went to the House of Lords about a month before I would have won my case. And my case was already starting to get press attention, and it would have been massive because no woman has ever sued her own bloody father, you know?
Have you always lived in Croydon? Oh, you were in London, didn't you?
I was in Croydon at that time,
but
I was born in North London, Holloway.
I don't know much. I think I've got relatives in London, but I have never met them.
Oh, okay.
Uh, What's one of them's called Rimmer. The pet are called Rimmer.
Rimmer.
R-I-M-M-E-R.
Okay. Don't know anyone with that name, my friend.
Actually, my family...
But my dad was on the buses in London. You know, he was very well known, actually, in the end, because he became a bus garage manager and all sorts of things. He was quite sort of in that world. He was quite glorified.
Right.
But as I say, really, because it was only in my own little world, in my own home, in my family, it's a tiny story, really. But then I brought it out into the world. And I made a big splash, and then it was when my case failed and the House of Lords changed the law and the way I was treated and amongst all of that, there was quite a lot that happened. And I just didn't know what to do, and somehow I got dragged to a conference about...
Where was it, in North London?
I lived in North London as a child, yeah.
Was that Croydon?
No, Croydon, South London. Mm-hmm. That's where I lived by the time I was in my 30s and I was bringing the case.
So where was your in... Oh, that's when you did your case.
I was in Croydon by then.
But when you were being medicated?
That was in North London.
North?
Yeah, that's where I was born. And that's where I grew up. But because of that court case, I did have all my medical records. And there was some evidence in them, but not of that. Not specifically of drug taking or being drugged. Because that would never have been known. You know, everything that I did present, looking back, as an abused child, but nobody noticed. You know, I was always the one that wet myself and couldn't do much and was bullied and
function
properly. I was very intelligent. I was really quick-minded, but physically or sports or socialising, I was a pretty hopeless case.
So when did you lodge your case? Did you say 1990s?
Yeah, it was about 90 or 91 I first lodged it. But if you look up Web V Web.
With the what?
Web, W-E-B-B, V Web.
Is that your solicitor or something?
No, that's the case that was ahead of mine. And that was B-Web. The case that changed.
She changed the law.
Well, statute of limitations, only on compensation. The statute of limitations, it has been changed again since, but at the time it meant that nobody over the age of 24 could sue. But what it also brought in was the criminal compensation for victims of abuse, which hadn't been there before. And I think they did that to sort of, they really did not want daughters suing their own fathers, you know?
Well, listen to this.
Would have terrified.
You can get,
the MPs and Lord.
Nah, look, you were medicated, okay? And you've obviously been affected by it, right? Do they consider you to have a mental illness?
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen to this.
I've got a borderline personality,
right?
Apparently.
Well, let me just say this one thing, right? Under that, you can have the time bar, or the statute of limitation, waived.
Okay.
Because they did that with me.
Okay. No, I'm not going there again.
Well, you should consider it.
I can't go to court again. I can't do it.
Well,
I'm allergic to court now.
Yeah.
I could help other people do it, but I just can't go there again.
Well, I hope you do well.
Anyway,
I hope you do well.
Oh, yeah, I am. I think we all probably have our down times and our up times. But I think we're all incredible, really, just to have survived.
Was it Heaven Be Web?
No, Web.
Oh, that's just, you know, States.
Be Web.
Be Web.
Web, V Web.
I think it's called Time Bar in the United Kingdom, isn't it? Time Bar.
Might be.
Time Bar.
I could get it for you. I've got all the information here.
Web Chain Jameson.
I'm just not. Let me see. If you look on my wall, though, there is a photo of me. Hang on. There's some of this stuff in my photos. Do you want me to send you some of it?
What I'll do, I keep getting the United States.
Alright, let me send you some stuff of my... Have you been to my photos or anything like that?
I only collect people, I don't usually collect survivors' pictures. What I do...
Don't worry, it's alright, I'm only asking, because then I know.
Well, what I do...
I'll share a couple with you.
Alright. Well, basically... What I basically do is if I find, I tend to take the pictures of government officials and media and so forth, because there's like a kid who was in care with me whose family were involved with the media.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a child prostitute as well.
Uh-huh.
And he had family in the media. You understand?
Yeah.
Most of the kids I was in care, well, not most of them, but a lot of them were actually the sons or nephews or daughters of nieces of prominent individuals. The hardened criminal-like child that was a criminal would go to different institutions. I was sent to children's homes because I hadn't committed any crimes. And probably because my family had made quite a few connections as well, insofar as the clientele. Hang on, somebody's just messaged me.
That's
you. All right.
Hey,
Dad. Yeah, who's sick? Who's there? Somebody's just... Ah, there's that guy again.
Alright, and then it's just if you haven't seen them, you can just see
more
who I am and.
That's quite. Yeah, I've seen that picture.
My parents offered me $22,000 at one point to stop the case, and no, it was not about the money. My point was that. As a child, there was no one there to defend me. It was in secret, you know, in a shut bedroom. No one knew. At least in court, he was going to have a defence. And it would be in public. And but even other people that had been through it turned on me.
Okay. I'm looking at your picture.
How can you do this to your father? You know, and that's how my family were at the time. The ones that I did still speak to then,
Can I just say something? Do you have memory problems in that?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not too much. I've got mainly good recall.
So what medication did they give you?
Mixing alcohol into cough medicines.
But what medicines did they give you?
And Valium.
And?
Valium, that's all I know. My parents were very secretive and I just know that my mum in those days, the kind of drugs that people were given were addictive and things they wouldn't give
now. I can't really see you just having been prescribed Valium.
I wasn't prescribed it. My mum, she had a breakdown and she was...
So what, were you actually prescribed by the doctor anything?
No.
Right, I got you.
Only normally, you know, only cough medicine, normal childish thing. But they would, when they were giving me those, they would be putting that extra stuff into it. They would like leave sweets on my bed, things I thought were sweets, and the next thing I'd be in sort of dreamland, and you can probably imagine.
Did you get
know?
Sexually assaulted while you were in a drug induced state?
Oh yeah, I mean, this is partly why I can identify with a lot of people that not all incest survivors can identify.
Okay, that's fine.
I think my dad, he was evacuated as a child, and I'm pretty sure he must have been badly abused. I know there were stories of when he came home to my nan, he couldn't even eat a whole egg. He was so starved, and he nearly died.
Is that your father?
That was my father. So, and just the way he abused me, it was so sadistic, and I was locked in cupboards and punished in very sort of ritualistic ways. And I didn't know it. As a child, I didn't understand any of that. It was only later on when I was going to groups or talking to other survivors that I was like, things were ringing bells. And even with, as I say, I did really meet somebody that was abused by, you know, lords of the manor in cloaks and all sorts. And I knew her for years, going through her sort of nightmares and things that she'd gone through, really sharing deeply. I can identify with this. It was only in my home, but it was very ritualistic and very sadistic, and it had a lot of just those connotations that I can. I can't compare. You know, none of us can say, "Oh, this was worse or that's bigger," but I just mean it when I say, okay, yeah, it was just in my home, but it was like every day when the key turned in the lock, I was in a state of fear and terror.
You tend to get that.
You know,
the thing is,
I used to have to sit in the toilet most nights until dinner time, and if I was lucky, I would get dinner. You know, it was really like that in my home. It was like something out of Dickens, my home. You know, but not many people, I've not heard many stories that compare to mine within my home, where there was no drink involved. And, you know, my dad didn't drink, he was a total teetotaler and very strict and very respectable,
like to say,
you know.
You know why I use that's a picture of me as a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason I use that picture is because it's got me with bruises on my face.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not photogenic, but you can see me on not Operation or what's that other one? What was that one? Smilem.
Oh.
I'm wearing the white T-shirt.
Yeah.
You can see me lean over. I'm not leaning over to listen to the woman. I almost lost balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I had difficulty standing up.
You'll see me even being hugged by him, you know, because we did a few rallies together. But one of the times, like, there was a girl that had come down all the way from, well, not that far, but far enough, Stevenage. Now, she was so ill still, and she got drunk. She couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And I could tell she was, like, nearly keeling over. So I was, like, right next to her and staying by her, watching out. There was a couple of us watching out for her. And she went out. Suddenly, she just walked up to Bill, and he pulled her face. And then she came back to me. So all I did was go up to Bill and say, are you going to let her speak? And it wasn't to say he shouldn't or he should. I just wanted to know. Because If he was going to let her speak, I would have gone up with her and stood beside her to make sure she didn't fall over or if she got lost, because she was very lucid still, but you know how it can be. The other drink too. And anyway, he just wouldn't answer me. He was quite rude to me. And then when I turned round, she was right down the road, down the underground. I could see her going down the steps, and I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't be there quick enough. And you'll see, you know, photos of me there on the day. I was standing, but I couldn't run. And I got home, and luckily she contacted me, or I contacted her, I can't remember, but I had her on the phone for hours, just making on and off, because I had to keep saying, save your battery, get on that train. She was going to walk off the platform at King's Cross. You know, she was on her own in King's Cross Station, drunk out of her head and totally fucked off because of the way he'd spoken to her. It needn't have happened. To me, that should not happen at a rally that's for survivors and victims of child abuse. We should be looking out for people, and we know that some of us get in trouble with this stuff, so we just look after each other. That's what happened when I did them originally. We had people all around the place ready to just put our arms around people or keep an eye on them, make sure they got home properly or, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, oh, fuck off, you drunk bird. You're not worth listening to.
And then recently,
because nobody's listening to him anymore, because the word has got out about him, and it's not me spreading it. I actually don't tell many people. It's
right,
more that I hear it.
Tell me his name.
And I've spoken to a few people about it. Bill Maloney.
Iron
Mesh Films, he is.
What's his name?
Bill Maloney.
Oh, Bill, you're still talking about...
Yeah.
He sounds like a mess.
He's awful to her, and not just her, others.
What I'll do is I'll try...
Because he's lost a lot of support, he's only gone and put a film out of him, all drunk and feeling sorry for himself, and I just get drunk, I can't cope, and all that stuff, and it's only to garner support for himself again. It actually looks like an act. It doesn't even look real. And I wouldn't say that about people normally, you know, it really doesn't look real. And I just think, how can you do that after you've treated people like that? And look down on them, scorn them? Because at the time he did that to that girl, he was flying very high.
Are you quite slim just now? Are you slim just now?
About average.
Well, your picture, I see two pictures. There's one on the newspaper clipping, and there's one that's a profile picture, and it says, and you look quite slim there.
Oh?
Well, I wouldn't say skinny, I see you're healthy, you look healthy. And
yeah, I've normally been like about that size.
Then I think I've noticed one that's perhaps, let me have a look.
The one of me in the lavender. Is there a lot of lavender around me?
I'll go to this one, it'll tell me, yeah. I see one that looks like it was done in either the 70s or the 80s, or maybe even the 60s. You got the handbag on?
Am I surrounded by lavender?
No, you're like David Russell's photos or something.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Is it saying in my comment, this is one of my first days walking?
I can't see a comment. You're like you're... You're walking away from a car park.
Oh, car park.
You've got a picture of it's in your photos of Shiva Chu. It's a fourth photograph.
Fourth.
Next to join the dots, you've got the march and then you've
Okay, let me have a look. Join the dots. After join the dots.
You've got join the dots, and if you just move to the second photo on the right, that's got you... like with a handbag.
Yeah. The handbag.
Is that you?
Oh, if it's the handbag one, I've got a shortage there.
I can't see a comment. Let me see. It says, I'm not really sure.
Alright.
It's got your name. It's Shiva Burton. It could be you. It looks like you.
Have I got long hair?
Long, but not too long. Kind of down to the neck, and that's it.
I think that might be when I was 14.
Yeah.
I was about 14. That's the one I'm thinking it is.
That would be the 70s then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was the 60s, 70s, yeah.
Happy sleeve.
Yeah, that's it.
I just been made to come home. I'd run away from home. And I got to Newcastle.
Yeah, I thought that was the 60s or the 70s.
And I was really full of hatred then. Because I'd been forced home. And then I'd been interrogated. I nearly got sold into slavery. Because I did get picked up by a pimp in King's Cross.
Yeah.
And a woman helped him.
I understand,
you know, that women are involved. Yeah. This woman totally was involved.
Yeah, that's you today, I think, or near enough today. Yeah, I see you now, yeah.
The one with the...
Wait a minute. Sharon
Lavender.
That Sharon Proud looks familiar.
Oh, she probably does. She's been around quite a long time in this. She's a good person.
Yeah.
She's a very good person.
That's like Bill Maloney in the black and white, the black t-shirt with the white sleeves.
Yeah, sort of greyish hair.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in my 30s now.
He looks like he does drugs. Does he do drugs?
I keep sending you them because that one in the lavender, that was after I'd been crippled, but I had managed to get walking.
Does Bill Maloney do drugs?
I think probably, but then I don't think too badly. I don't think so.
Well, he looks like he's done a bit. If he hasn't done medication, he's done illegal drugs.
I think he has when maybe he was younger.
Yeah, because he's
got the... And I think he might have gone back to them.
He's got the posture of someone who's used... He's got, like, maybe he was homeless for a while, was he?
He might have been. I can't actually remember.
Right.
His whole story.
He looks like he's got bone problems.
But if you look down... if you're in my photos, there's a photo with a guy with dark glasses on.
And a blue shirt.
And a waistcoat.
Yeah, and he's got like a roll of paper on.
Yeah, that's Michael. That's Michael McManus.
Hi.
That's him. And he is lovely. He's proper, you know, totally, he knows so much.
Ah, that's Michael McManus. That's,
he's like an education. And I tell you what, he's nearly blind because his mum threw a hot pan of something in his face.
And
he's got a real big story too. Also has set up a home for kids. It's been closed down since.
What one's that?
I can't remember the name, but it was in Oxford. Right, that's where he is. He's in Oxford.
Oh, wait a minute. I saw a film about that recently.
But there was a home he helped set up, and it got closed down. But it was a good one. It was to help abused kids.
Ah, right.
And they could go and smash things, you know, and things like that. It was proper good therapy and good... He would tell you if you rang him. He would talk about it.
Yeah, that's fine.
He'll talk to anybody, Michael will. He's lovely.
Well, just let me have a quick...
Lovely, lovely man.
I watched a video recently. I get a lot of recommendations. A lot of them are pranks, you know.
Oh, yeah. I do too. That's why, you know. But as I said, not everything in my photos is good anymore. I've just left it there because it tells a story.
Right.
But I can't recommend everybody that you would see in all of that because of things that have happened since, you know.
Yeah, did you know that my brother had ended up with pneumonia.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he almost died. And they put him in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and then they shifted him to a psychiatric ward.
Hey, listen, I should get off my phone, because now it's costing me.
Oh, right, I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to think. Right, is this your... Say that again?
Do you want to carry on? I can ring you back. I'm okay to ring you back, but...
Yeah, you can call me back another day if you want, but I can call you.
Yeah, you've got my number.
I just have, is it the 019 number?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call you another day, that way it won't...
01293.
Oh, wait a minute, I'll have to check that.
Make sure.
If you give me the number just now, anyway.
01 01 293 293 279 279 076 076. Yeah.
And I'll put Shiva.
And if it's all right with you, I'll ask Michael if I can give you his number.
You can give me my... sorry, say that again?
I'll ask Michael if I can give you his number.
Yeah, that's fine.
I always just ask. It's the same with you. I would never give you a number without asking you first.
Well, I tend...
I just don't do that.
I'm not really...
I'm sure he'd like to talk to you.
I tend to be in a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But like you, I've got sleeping problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to stay up all day now.
Mm-hmm.
Or try and stay up all day.
Okay.
Because I've got an appointment with an advocate. So, it's fine. If you please tell me... you could...
A lot of us do, though. And honestly, Michael's a very safe man.
Right.
Very safe man.
He looks like he has,
You've got him as a friend on Facebook. He's the one with the T-shirt that says Labour supports...
Yeah, I've got him. I just finished when you were chatting with me on the messages, so was he.
Okay.
You know?
Alright, but he loves me to bits.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
He's known me years. You can ask him anything about me.
Okay.
Honestly, he's been around in this longer than I have.
Yeah.
About, he was fighting before I was.
Yeah.
And he knows me from then. He was at those early rallies that I did.
Yeah.
And that he knows and he understands my breakdowns and my problems.
Yeah.
And he just does because he knows that we're going through stuff.
I haven't really lived in London. I can't remember if I've stayed there a night. But I've mainly just passed through London.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't travelled since about 2008 now.
Okay.
Well, the furthest I went would have been later, which would have been 2012, which was Aberdeen, and that's just up north.
Okay. But
the furthest, as far as going further than Aberdeen, I haven't been abroad since 2008.
Okay.
I think. I've got memory problems, so it's difficult for me.
I've got to get off my phone.
It's difficult for me to remember.
And much as I wouldn't mind, I can't afford it.
Nah, basically...
I do get free calls.
You get free calls? You get free calls?
I do get free calls.
Ah, well, I thought it was...
After an hour, it starts charging.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we've been on the go for at least an hour and a half, I think.
I think so too, but it's okay. It's okay.
Well, what I'll do is I'll call you the next time, okay?
It's fine, but let's make sure we don't, I'll just ring you. That's what I normally do, is I just cut off and ring someone back if we're chatting on three.
Do you want to keep chatting, like?
No, I don't mind.
Okay. If you want to keep chatting, you give me a call back then.
But to you.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Before you started.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I've got to stay up anyway.
I'm really glad to talk. I like talking to people. I do better talking to people than anything else. not
okay,
a man.
So if you want to call me back, you go ahead and do that.
All right. I'm not sure I will, because I need to just go and do a few things, take care of
okay, that's
things.
Fine. Whatever you want to do.
And then I might just crash, because I'm quite tired.
No, I'm gonna have
but
a coffee
we'll
anyway.
Talk again.
I'm going to have a coffee.
Oh, I am.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, because I'm going to have to eat as well.
Yeah.
And I tend to fall asleep after I've eaten.
Maybe just relax and do that. We'll talk again.
If you want to call me back, you've got my number.
Yeah. I probably won't, though. You eat and take care of yourself.
I mean, like, another
day. In the meantime. But another time soon, we'll talk.
Okay, that's fine.
All right.
Okay, bye.
All right. Bye for now.
Bye.